Blog Talk Radio. The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the IMA Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Kendi Ward, and along with the WAFME Mastermind Group, we will be your hosts for this morning. We are continuing our discussion on Chapter 1 of Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, and the title of the chapter is Desire. This morning, we will be discussing specifically from the chapter Imagination, which he discusses briefly on page 28 through 30. And one of my favorite quotes about imagination is from Albert Einstein. And Albert Einstein says, imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all there ever will be to know and understand. And that's one of my favorite quotes from Albert Einstein about imagination. And so we'll be discussing imagination in relation to desire and the book Think and Grow Rich. I just want to introduce briefly the WAFME Mastermind Group. I'm going to ask each person online to say something about themselves so that our listening audience could get to know them better. So I'm going to go ahead and start with Denise.
Hi, good morning, everyone. There's something about myself. I love to cook and bake.
Thank you. And how long have you been masterminding?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think about 6 or so years.
Okay, wow. Okay, and then next I'm going to introduce Trudy.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Trudy Ward. And I good morning. I'm Trudy Ward, and I love reading and exercising. I've been masterminding for about 3 years.
Great. Thank you, Trudy. And Kenneth?
Good morning. And my hobby is fishing. I love fishing.
And how long have you been masterminding?
It's about 4 years.
And we have one more member, Quincy. He's not on the line, and hopefully he'll be joining us shortly. So that comprises the WAFME Mastermind Group. It is compiled of my immediate family, my mom, my dad, my sister, and my brother, and we've been masterminding together for a group for about 4 years. I've been masterminding individually by myself for about 10 years. So the last 2 weeks we discussed, we weren't here last week, we had Havila Malone on, but the 2 weeks prior to that, we started off discussing the beginning of Chapter 1. We talked about the six questions which I'm looking for in the book right now. We talked about the 6 questions that you have to answer when wanting to acquire money. And I'm going to review those questions again because I think it's very important that we keep them in the forefront of our mind, because one of the last thing, the 6th step, is to repeat the answers to the 6 questions daily. So the first one says, fix in your mind the exact amount of money you desire. It is not sufficient merely to say, I want plenty of money. Be definite about the amount. 2nd, determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the money you desire. There is no such reality as something for nothing. 3rd, establish a definite date when you intend to possess the money you desire. 4th, create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once, whether you are ready or not to put this plan into action. 5th, write out a clear, concise statement about the money you intend to acquire. Name the time limit for its acquisition. State what you intend to give in return for money and describe clearly the plan through which you intend to accumulate it. And then 6th, read your written statement aloud twice daily. And also what we discussed when we talked about those 6 points was that it's not just for money, it's for anything that you desire. You can go through this process to accumulate it. And this, the following week we talked about money consciousness and how we have to put that at the forefront of our minds, and we talked about respecting money. And if you sat out and you say, I want X dollars to do X thing, which is a part of the process of the 6 questions, and you don't do what you said you were going to do, then how can you expect to get anything in return for it? So you have to respect the money and respect the process. So I'm going to ask Denise to jump in with any thoughts that she has on our quick review.
Okay. Also with the 6 questions, you can apply that to other things than getting money. Yes, you need money to buy a lot of things, but also, sometimes you want other things, like you may want to get married, and you may not have that husband in place or wife in place. So you can apply that principle with that. So you may have the money to actually pay for the wedding, but you don't have the actual person. You may be sick, and there's nothing that the doctor can do. So the money can't afford you good health, but if you meditate on good health and you see yourself in good health, then that still can come to pass. So it's not only in regards to money, but it's in regards to manifesting whatever it is that you desire.
I just want you to comment. You talked about when we discussed during the show, when we discussed money consciousness, you talked about respecting the money. Can you give us a brief review on what you said during that show?
Well, with respecting the money, Kendi also said, you have to do exactly what it is that you said you are going to do with the money. Not only that, when you have a certain amount of money in the bank or wherever the money is, sometimes you decide to go on a shopping spree. So that's spending the money lavishly when you go on a shopping spree, but you have bills that you need to pay. So you're not using the money wisely. You go ahead and you buy things that you don't necessarily need, or you can wait to get it at another time. So it's good to use the money wisely. Now with wealth, because I also mentioned about wealth, it's not about having an enormous amount of money. It has to do with how you spend your money. So you can have $10,000 a month or $5,000 a month, be wealthy, because you are spending it, you are using it to pay your bills and then saving some and using the other for whatever it is that you set your goal for. So it's not about how much money you have. I also said that if Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or Oprah Winfrey had less money, they would still be wealthy. It's because of how they spend their money. They use it for what they say they're going to use it for. So once you start to put that into practice, even with a smaller amount of money, when you get a larger amount of money, you won't go bankrupt. You won't go back to being broke, which is what happens to a lot of people when they win the lottery because they don't know how to spend their money wisely.
Right, and that brings me to another point that we discussed when we were here last time, 2 weeks ago. We talked about poverty consciousness, which I said was negative money consciousness, because a lot of times people having a problem being money conscious for various reasons, that they have negative thoughts about being wealthy because maybe they think that wealthy people are selfish, or they have various reasons. And we talked about, well, either you're going to be money conscious positively to acquire wealth, or you're going to be money conscious negatively, and that is a poverty mindset. And that's what you were talking about just now, and that's a great segue for me to remind everybody that you're either thinking about money positively or negatively, but you're always conscious of it. So we want to be positively conscious of money. And before we go into our discussion on on imagination, we're going to go to our first commercial break.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Good morning again, and welcome back to the IMA Blog Talk Radio Show. This morning we are discussing Chapter 1 from Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, and we're focusing on the area of imagination. And I'm here with WAFME Mastermind Group, which consists of myself, I'm Kendi Ward, Denise Ward, Kenneth Ward, Trudy Ward, and Quincy Ward. So we just had a brief review of our last two discussions from Chapter 1 on Desire, which in Week 1 we discussed the beginning of the chapter and the 6 questions, and the second week we discussed money consciousness. This week we're going to discuss imagination. Now, the chapter is titled Desire, and at the beginning of the chapter, Napoleon Hill tells a story about Edwin Barnes and his desire to be a partner of Thomas Edison. And he referred to this desire as the dominating dream of his life. And I would pose to say that a desire, whatever it may be, starts as a thought that is birthed out of your imagination. So we look at the beginning in the Bible, in the beginning of the world. We see that it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Well, it started as a thought in God's imagination, and then he spoke it, and then we saw creation. And as we are made with the same creative ability as God, everything that we see in this known world started in somebody's imagination, whether it's a TV, a car, a chair, a cup, the computer we talked about, Steve Jobs and Apple, that started as a thought in his head, as imagination. So I want the WAFME Mastermind Group to expound upon that everything that we see in this known world started in an unknown world inside our minds as a thought, as imagination. Denise, your thoughts?
Yes, that is true. And a lot of times what happens to us is that sometimes growing up, we hear certain things or we see certain things, and that starts to form our thoughts. So we begin to imagine things that we are not able to accomplish, or we start to look at ourselves differently from the viewpoint that we were made fearfully and wonderfully, that we can do whatever it is that we put our mind to. And so, yes, of course we want to look at the positive points and say whatever you put into your mind, it starts with a thought, but also keep in mind that when people start to try to shape our thoughts with negative, we have to reject that. Because if we keep that in our mind, then our thoughts are going to be formed and we can develop the poverty mentality where, as Candy was saying before, having a positive outlook towards money, towards the things that it is that we want. If I'm allowed to give an example,
for myself,
I know that some 10 years or so ago, I think, maybe more, I was out somewhere with a family member, and I don't know if we had just eaten or something, I don't know. So my belly was puffed out a bit, and at the time I was extremely skinny. And she said to me, "Oh, I see you're going to grow a lot in that stomach area." And what I should have done right then and there is reject her, which I thought that I did. But I think because I dwelled on it and kept on saying it over and over. And so I'm not big right now, but I'm always complaining about my stomach. Oh, I need to do more sit-ups. Oh, this, oh, that. Instead of I say, I'm beautiful. You look good just the way you are. And so that's my personal experience with somebody putting something negative in my mind, and I started to think on it, and it wasn't that I was thinking, oh, yes, my stomach is getting bigger. I was thinking, oh, I have to stop what it is that she's saying, but I was still thinking about what it is that she was saying instead of thinking about it the way I wanted it to be. You have a six-pack. You're in perfect health, perfect shape. And so that's what we have to do. We have to completely reject it, but not reject it by saying, I do not want to have a big stomach or I do not want to be overweight, because the brain does not register the not, so it's hearing, I have a big stomach, I am overweight, and giving you exactly what it is that you're saying. So if I had said, I am fit, I am whatever it is, the weight that I want to be, then that would have been the correct way to counteract what it is that she said.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that reminds me of something that we do in IMA, which is we write an affirmation, a positive affirmation. And the affirmation is composed of sentences that affirm in the positive. And even though some of these things that we are affirming may not be our reality presently, it's the way that we imagine ourselves to be. And it's just like what you said, that the brain does not register not. So in my affirmation, I'm not going to say I'm not poor. I'm going to say I'm wealthy. I'm not going to say I'm not sick. I'm going to say that I'm healthy and I'm whole. And so the point of the affirmation is not to affirm who you are now, but affirm who you are going to be and how you imagine yourself to be. So your affirmation requires imagination. And sometimes, like you were saying, that because of our upbringing, because of situations or circumstances or experiences that we have, that we can't imagine ourselves in the way that we're supposed to be. We can't imagine ourselves as pretty, or we can't imagine ourselves as intelligent, or we can't imagine ourselves as wealthy because of our past experiences. And also that brings me to the point of guarding your thoughts, or guarding your gates. And your gates are your eyes, your ears, and also your mouth. So you have to guard what you look at. You have to guard what you listen to. Don't be in conversations with people who are negative and who are always bringing themselves down and bringing others down, because it's a seed that's planted in your thought pattern and in your process that affects your imagination and how you see yourself and how you see other people. And when I say guard your mouth, guard the words that come out of your mouth. So be careful about what you say. And we say things jokingly. You'd be like, oh, my gosh, he makes me so sick. If you keep saying that, you're going to be sick. Or you say, oh, that was so funny, you're killing me. Why are you professing that or affirming death over yourself? So we take for granted that our words, as we speak, that they're creating our reality out of our thoughts and out of our imagination. So the book also says, Hill says that Barnes had a burning desire, that part of Barnes's burning desire becoming a reality, that even so, he had this burning desire to be a business partner of Thomas Edison. But when he moved, packed up his stuff and moved to where Thomas Edison was, and he started off in a menial position. But even though he was in this menial position, in his mind, the entire time, and the time period was about 5 years, the entire time in his mind, he was a business partner of Thomas Edison. So again, we see where imagination plays a major part in making your desire a reality. So even though you may be, well, for me, I may be driving a Honda Accord, my desire is to drive a Bentley. So I see myself, you know, even though I'm in an Accord, I see myself in a Bentley. Even though you may be in a menial job position, you can see yourself every day when you go to work. You see yourself as CEO. You see yourself as an entrepreneur. You see yourself as president of the company when you go every day, and you act as such, just as he did. So I'm going to ask somebody from Wafami. I'm not going to call any names. I'm just going to say somebody from Wafami to jump in on that also.
Well, I wanted to just comment personally on what you said about Barnes. He saw himself where he wanted to be, and when I had just started high school, my lovely mother, she gave me this piece of paper to read about this boy who was failing in class. And he was failing terribly. And I don't remember exactly what he did, but he recited something, and he turned his failure into success. And so from getting all F's and D's, he started getting all A's. And I said to myself from reading that, I said, well, if he can turn F's and D's to all A's, I can turn my A's and B's to all A's. And I put that on the mirror, and I said to myself, I was just in the ninth grade, I said, when I finish the 12th grade, I'm going to be the valedictorian of my school. And as I passed that, I would just imagine myself as they call my name across the stage for all the awards. And I would hear Denise Ward Mathematics, Denise Ward Computer, Denise Ward Biology. And, you know, at the end of the ninth grade, it was funny because it happened, but I was kind of surprised. And every time I went to my seat, it was Denise Ward Comeback Literature, and I got every subject award for the ninth grade. And so that boosted my confidence even more. So I'd pass that mirror and see that boy, think about that boy and say, yes, I can do it. And at the end of the 12th grade, with the stiff competition and other issues that happened, I walked across that stage as valedictorian. And so I know that once you imagine what it is and you really see yourself doing that, because that was 4 years. It wasn't, after 2 months. And I didn't get it because I couldn't get it in 2 months. It was a four-year process, and I had to stay focused throughout it, the entire time of high school to achieve that goal. And so I could relate to Barnes in that aspect.
I also want to give a personal example of myself. I'm a writer. I've always been a writer from the time that I could write. I've been writing, and from the time that I could speak, I've been telling stories, most of the time to get me out of trouble. And so I had a burning desire to be a published author. And so every time I would go into a bookstore, I would go to the section in fiction, and I would go to the section where W is, and my last name is Ward, and I would stand there and I would envision my book on the shelf in that slot. So I would find the exact slot, and I still do it. Any bookstore I go into, I still do it. I would go to that slot where I would be Ward Kendi in alphabetical order, and I would see my book there. And I remember in 2001, September of 2001, shortly after 9/11, I walked into Walden's bookstore in the Aventura Mall, and I'm doing my thing that I always do and imagining my book on the shelf, and I walk through the aisle, and I go to that spot, and my book is on the shelf. And it was like, it's surreal. It's like, my sister said, it's like you're seeing it and it's happening, but it's like, is this really happening? Because this, I've been doing this for so long and practicing it for so long, and here it is, a reality. So I made a whole big fuss in the store, and of course everybody comes, and I'm like, oh my goodness, it's my book. And then like I did a book signing the next week, my very first book signing. So it pays to see yourself where you want to see yourself and to have that boldness to imagine the unimaginable. So I'm going to go to a commercial break, and then I'm going to take a caller because I see somebody has their hand raised. So we're going to commercial break.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.
Welcome back to the Mastermind, IMA Mastermind Blog Talk Radio Show. We're here, as a commercial said, every Saturday at 8 a.m. This morning we're discussing Think and Grow Rich, Chapter 1, Desire, and focusing on imagination. We have a caller on hold. I think it's Ann McNeil. So I'm going to say good morning to Ann.
Good morning, Kendi, and everyone who's listening in from all over the world. I am Ann McNeil, the Master Builder, building stronger and better lives, and I'm enjoying the show. And, again, I would love to hear from your mother, who has raised such wonderful daughters utilizing her imagination and the principles espoused in the book, Think and Grow Rich. Thank you.
Thank you. So, Trudy, you can jump in right here, right now, and give us your thoughts on what we've discussed so far, because we have
a listening
audience that wants to hear from you.
Good morning, and thank you again, Kendi. I was just signaled to Denise that I had a few things to inject. What I would like to say this morning, that not only did Denise have that affirmation to stand on, she also had the Word of God. And her scripture all through school was, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And she would repeat that, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And I think all of us have a scripture, a principle to stand on to take us through. So not only with the affirmation and the imagination and the visualization, you must have the Word of God to back it up. That is the foundation of what we do. What I would like to also say, that all of these aspects of imagination, ideas, dreams, goals are within us. All of them are within us from the foundation, from when we were born into the world. But like Denise said, as we grow older, we are distracted by the negativity of other persons that has not come into the realization that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. What we can do as a person, we can sit and meditate, and when we come to ourselves, we can just sit, and when we meditate, we begin to imagine certain stuff, and we begin to see things because it's already in us. And when we begin to meditate, we visualize We visualize and we see the stuff we need. We see the car. We see the house. We see the husband. We see the dream home, like I said, and the boats. We see everything. So if we would take time out in the morning and just sit all by ourselves when it's quiet and we close our eyes and begin to imagine, we will see everything that God has to offer. But the problem is we don't want to get up early to sit in the quiet. And at night, we don't want to do what the passage in number 6 says. We must write it down. We must read it in the morning, read it at night. We think that's a lot of time. And because the Bible says faith without works is dead, we don't want to mentally work ourselves into accomplishing what God has already have in place for us. I have imagined so many things, and I receive them. The only thing, the problem is actually reciting what I want and doing it faithfully. That is something I need to get into. But if I want to travel, I imagine going on the plane, and I get the ticket, and I'm traveling. When I want a new furniture in my house, I sit and look all through the room, and I put it in place, and I receive it. I am a believer, and I stand on the word that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Thank you. I just want to piggyback on one thing that my mom touched on about actually sitting and visualizing, you know, and going through the process. You could call it daydreaming or fantasizing or whatever you want to call it, but you have to actually go through that process of having a visual in your mind of the things that you want. Now, I'm a writer, and I write a lot of fiction, so I do this a lot. I do this constantly in creating characters and creating scenes, and sometimes I create characters and scenes that won't even go onto my book because it helps me to understand the process of creating a person, a believable person. So if you want to create a believable reality, you have to sit, like my mom said, in quiet and replay that in your mind over and over and over again until, like when we talked about money consciousness, it talked about not being able to distinguish, you know, what this burning desire is in your mind from reality. And that's a part, that's the key. Not that you're delusional about your reality, but your subconscious can't, because you concentrate and you meditate on it so much, your subconscious can't distinguish what you're imagining from the reality, and therefore creating from that thought process your reality. So I would encourage everybody to get quiet and to take that time, if it's 2 minutes, if it's 1 minute, to imagine yourself where you want to be. And I am a witness that, you know, it happens. You have to put the work in, of course, and I continue to put the work in, but I continue to see myself where I want to be. And I know, because it's happened before, that I will get there. On page 29, I think, yes, page 29 of our book, it says, one must realize that all who have accumulated great fortunes first did a certain amount of dreaming, hoping, wishing, desiring, and planning before they acquire money. And I'm going to use the example. I have a couple of examples that we're going to talk about, but I want to right now use the example of Walt Disney. Disney World is one of our, as a family, favorite places to go. My parents first took us, my sister and I, to Disney when I was 6 and my sister was 2. And we have basically gone every year since then, except for like a couple of years. So I've been there a lot of times. So I've come to admire Walt Disney, and everything at Disney World is about imagination, that the creators of the rides and the cartoons that we see there are called Imagineers. And all of this whole idea of Disney World started in Walt's mind as a thought, as an idea. And we were watching a documentary on Walt Disney and the gentleman who is currently the president of Disney. He said Walt imagined so much ideas that they could go on building forever. They would never run out of ideas to have. And that was like mind-boggling to me, that even after he's dead and he's gone, that his dreams and his thoughts are still being completed. On his deathbed, he gave them some ideas for Epcot Center. And he never lived to see Walt Disney World. The majority of what we are experiencing now, he never lived to see. But he wrote everything down. And like the president, the current president said, his ideas, they have enough to continue building forever. And he was a visionary in that he bought enough land in Central Florida that they could keep building forever, long after he's gone. And people didn't want to sell to him swamp land in the middle of Central Florida. What are you going to do with it? And nobody comes to Orlando. Who comes? Nobody wanted to give him money. Nobody wanted to even sell him the land because it didn't make sense to them. Nobody comes to Central Florida. Nobody knows where Orlando is. Why would you want to build a theme park here? And look what happened. Because of one man who decided to defy reality and create his own reality, and from that we have Disney World. So like it says that, so every person who's accumulated great fortune, and even for Walt, I don't think that I've listened to many documentaries with him. His main focus wasn't, I want to accumulate a lot of money. His main thing was, I want to create a place where adults can go and kids can go, because I don't have any place to take my own daughters. And from that came Disney World. So I'm going to ask my brother, I think he's on the line, I see him raising his hand, to piggyback on that. Quincy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. This is Quincy. And pretty much basically off of what you were just saying, he had this idea to move, to build this park in Orlando. Like you were saying, people were asking why he wanted to go there, and nobody's there. But he still went ahead and did it, and it's a big success now. So I think, truly, the thing that all these people have in common, these dreamers, like you say, like you're going to talk about Christopher Columbus, Henry Ford, Abraham Lincoln, the Wright brothers, and like you mentioned, Walt Disney, they were all dreamers, and had this imagination of what they wanted. But I think the main thing about them was they didn't let people distract them from their dream. Because if you let people distract you and say, oh, that's a big dream you have, you know, they're not thinking like you, so they're not going to be able to think as big as you, so they're not going to understand where you're coming from. So the best way to go about that is to ignore those people and stick to what you think and stick to what your goal is and what your dream is.
Thank you, Quincy. I just want to piggyback on that a little bit, and also that you can't share your dreams with everybody because you have dream killers. So you have to, that's why you have a mastermind circle, and you have people that you mastermind with and who you trust to protect your dream, because you don't want to go, you know, saying a lot of stuff to people about what is in your imagination, and then they're like, okay, that doesn't make sense. Well, it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean that it's not a reality. So I would just say that watch out for dream killers and also dream stealers. I've read in the media recently, and I don't know how true this is because I've done some research and I don't see it in any mainstream media, but I see it on a lot of blogs about the fact that the Matrix trilogy and also the Terminator trilogy was an idea of an African-American woman who had submitted her manuscripts back in the late 70s, early 80s to film company. Was it Universal? To Universal, and they stole it. They stole it, and according to what I'm seeing in media now is that it's been a five-year battle in the courts, and she finally won. So you have to watch out for dream killers and dream stealers, and so that's why it's important to have a mastermind circle because they protect you from dream stealers and dream killers. So also the book says about imagination. Hill says that every leader from the dawn of civilization was a dreamer who had the vision and imagination to see realities in their mental and spiritual form before they had been transmuted into
physical into physical form. So we're going to talk about some of these visionaries now. And Quincy mentioned a couple of them: Christopher Columbus, Henry Ford, Abraham Lincoln, the Wright brothers. Abraham Lincoln is another favorite of ours as a family because of just what he did, and to envision that, you know, that we all are created equal and that we should have that equality, when that was not the common thought process of the time, to think beyond that and to actually step out and to exact change, you know. And it's good to have, okay, I have this thought in my head or I have this ideology, but to actually then exact change. So we want to talk about some of these visionaries who had, you know, a thought in their head and in their imagination, and then it became reality because of their actions. So I'm going to ask Denise to jump in.
Well, for me, but looking at some of those persons, I wanted to pick somebody of my own, and that is Thomas Edison. And I was just thinking about it the other day, and that's why I wanted to mention him, that to imagine a world where we would have light other than the candle or the moonlight or the sunshine. And for so many years, so many centuries, we were living, I wouldn't say in darkness, but not with the capacity of light that we have right now. And I was wondering to myself, I said, sometimes we say, oh, everything has already been discovered and there is nothing left because we have so many things. But at that time, perhaps everybody else was thinking that, okay, we have a lamp, we can do a fire, and that was good enough. But he thought there must be more. There has to be something better than this. Like, how did he even think about it? Sometimes we just think about very small things, but that was such a big imagination to come up with something like that. And so in this other book that my mother and I read in the morning, it was saying that even today there are still more things that need to be invented. There is something for everyone to invent, something for everyone to come up with. So even if you could imagine that, so to comment on what you said, you don't even have to steal somebody else's idea. If you would just take the time, there is something that even from the beginning of time, God had already put in place that you would invent or develop. And so I just found that to be quite fascinating.
Also in the book, it talks about, I don't know the exact page, but it talks about the gentleman who created, who discovered the radio wave, that his family actually had him committed. And we just talked about dream stealers and dream killers, and it's like his family, this flesh and blood. When he started talking about the fact that he believes that sound can be carried through waves without the aid of any wires, they were like, okay, you lost your mind, you fell and you bumped your head. We need to put you in an institution. And they actually had him committed to an institution because they couldn't imagine how this could happen. But because of him, we're on a telephone right now.
Yeah.
Because of him, we have the internet. Because of him, we have radio. Because of him, we have satellites in space sending signals down, and we have cable TV. We have a defense system in this country like no other because he dared to imagine what didn't make sense. And I'm sure when he thought about it, he was like, does that really make sense? And of course he tested, like, no, this can be true. This can happen. And, I mean, because of that, we have, like, a whole industry. We have the whole film industry in movies. I mean, imagine a world without TV or the internet or radio. So because he dared to imagine, and you had the Wright brothers who said, hey, we could fly. Yeah, I'm sure his contemporaries said, yeah, sure, we can fly. Like, how are you going to do that? Like, get a bird big enough for us to ride? And we have commercial airlines, so we don't have to take 3 days or how many ever days by train it took to go from from the East Coast to the West Coast of the United States, that we could hop on a plane and in a couple of hours we could be there instead of a couple of days, because somebody, you know, dared to imagine the unimaginable, or what seemed to be the unimaginable. Someone asked Trudy and Kenneth and Quincy to also pick one visionary or person that they see as a visionary to discuss.
Well, if they're going to take a while, could I say one more thing, please?
Yeah.
So Henry Ford, he was a great visionaire, but also he never deviated from what he wanted. He had, with some respect, I would say, tunnel vision, because when all the engineers that he had told him that he could not make, I think it was the 8-cylinder engine, he said, yes, you'll make it. And he told them that they will keep on trying until they make it. He saw it in his imagination that it could be done. He did not know how it would be done. And Kendi said before, imagination is better than education. He wasn't very educated, but he had great imagination, and he stayed very focused. It didn't matter how many no's he got. Let's just imagine for a second, he had over 100 engineers who all at the same time, this is impossible, this cannot happen. And he says, keep on going. And they come back and say, we've been working on this for over a year. Nothing has happened. Let's say he added 100 more engineers to make it 200. And they are trying, and now we don't have any more money, and we'll find the money. Keep at it. And guess what? Eventually it happened. It happened, and now not only we have Ford cars, we have, so many different types of cars, makes and models, all because of him. And so that is very important. You cannot deviate, no matter how it looks, no matter how long it takes. If that's what you believe, stick with it, and it will happen.
Thank you, Denise. Kenneth, Trudy, Quincy.
Okay, now I'm going to talk about Walt Disney. When he started out, he decided that he wanted a playground for his two girls because there was no activity, nothing for them to get involved with. And he started, and he went to the bank. He went from bank to bank. And he ended up going to 100 banks. All of them turned him down, but he was very persistent. He had a dream. He had a big, big dream. His imagination was great, and he had already visualized what he wanted to do. And he went back to the bank. And one of the bankers, after he was so persistent, he said, seeing that you are so persistent and you have this dream, I am going to lend you the money. One person out of 100, probably more, decided that his dream would become a reality. And that is how Disney World began. Imagination, visualization, dream, and somebody else's money that help him to succeed.
Thank you, Trudy. Quincy, I'm going to ask you what my mom just said reminded me of another Disney story, and we're like using Walt Disney as a lot of example. But Quincy, tell him the story about the rabbit and the mouse and Mr. Disney.
Oh yes.
Oh well, that go back to pretty much what you were talking about too with the Terminator story and the. Matrix. A lot of people don't know, I guess, that Walt Disney's first main character was a rabbit named Oswald that he created when he was actually working for Universal Studios as a cartoonist. So he came up with all these characters while he worked there, and Oswald was his main character. So, like, we were talking about Dream Stealers. So this was supposed to be his main breakout character, that probably pretty much would be like what he did with Mickey Mouse. The producers at the studio decided that they didn't want to give him any credit for what he created, and they just wanted to take all his creations and get a cheaper studio and pay some other artists less money to develop these characters, and they actually fired Walt Disney. So after he got fired and he decided to move back home, on his way home, he was kind of being down, I guess, on the way home. But on the way home, he started drawing, because that's what he did. That was his passion. He ended up drawing a mouse on his sketch pad on the way home, and he decided to name the mouse Mortimer. But he told his wife that he came up with this character named Mortimer, and his wife, like I said, named Mickey. So because of him, his original dream being stolen, his original idea being stolen, he came up with this new idea that started this whole big corporation known as Walt Disney Corporation now. And if you go around the park, you always see these signs, the quote from Walt Disney that says it all started with a mouse. So, I mean, like, even with him, his idea and dream were stolen, but he didn't give up. He had another one. So even if you have a failure at first, you know, you still can come up with ideas, another idea to keep going with.
And also, recently, Disney just got the rights back to Oswald.
Amen.
Right.
So it came full circle at Universal. I mean, at the time, it was a giant studio, and they stole the idea of Oswald from Disney, but now Disney owns Oswald again, and recently, Quincy can correct me if I'm wrong, that Disney bought the rights of Marvel, which was owned by Universal. So, and if you don't know, Disney also owns ABC and is larger than Universal now. And they fired Walt Disney. So, you know,
right,
we may
exactly.
We might, you know, run into road bumps. We might have some of our dreams and ideas stolen. But the point is to keep pressing through it, that if you have one idea, that if God gave you one idea, he's going to give you another idea, and you're going to reach that goal that you want. So right now I'm going to ask if anybody listening has any questions. Press 1 on your keypad to give comments or questions. Okay, I see a hand raised. I'm going to take a caller. Caller ending in phone number ending in 9256, please. Say your name and your comment or question.
My name is Clyde, and I just have a comment about the nation relative to Walt Disney and to Henry Ford. It should be known that Henry Ford benefited from the imagination of an African. His name was George Washington Carver. The assembly line that Henry Ford created, the idea came from George Washington.
I'm gonna have to interrupt you because I'm getting a lot of feedback in the background. I don't know if somebody else is doing something, but I'm gonna ask everybody to just mute your phone because I'm getting a feedback. Go ahead, Clyde.
As I was saying, George Washington Carver had a vivid imagination. He invented over 52 items that are used today, everything from paint to shoe polish, from the peanut and from the sweet potato. He would get up every morning and go out into the woods and talk to the plants and animals and get information and go back to his laboratory. And Henry Ford offered him thousands and thousands of dollars to come to work for him, but he refused to. He stayed at Tuskegee, where he passed away, and he made a tremendous contribution to this world in terms of the things that he invented out of his imagination. So I just want to make sure that sometimes, you know, we forget that African Americans had vivid imaginations, and I think it's always helpful when we can consider our contributions to society and how we too have imaginations that work. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you. Great program.
Thank you, Clyde, for reminding us about George Washington Carver's contributions to our world as we know it and his vivid imagination that he used very, very frequently. So thank you for that. Anybody, if there's anybody else that has a question or a comment, please dial 1 on your telephone keypad so that I can know that you have a question. If not, I'm going to go to one last commercial break, and then I'm going to have closing comments from everybody.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Welcome back to the IMA Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Kendi Ward, and I'm here with the WAFME Mastermind Group we've been discussing this morning, Think and Grow Rich, the first chapter on desire, and specifically discussing imagination. We have about 4 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to ask everybody to be brief and give closing comments of 30 seconds. And we're going to start with Denise.
What I want to say is in the book it says that you must have sufficient imagination. That's on the bottom of page 29. And you can say to yourself, okay, I want a house or I want a car, but that is not having sufficient imagination. You need to visualize the amount of bedrooms you want that house to have, how you want each and every room to be laid out. Visualize yourself walking through the front doors of that house. You must have sufficient imagination. Make it as though it is real. Again, they said the brain does not distinguish what is already here from what is to come. So if you use sufficient imagination, then you can actually see things the way you want it to be.
Thank you. Kenneth?
Yes, mine is on Christopher Columbus, who wanted to get to India. And he figured, said that the world was round, so through traveling west, that's the east. And he didn't have the money, but he was very persistent, and he went to the... And...
Okay, I'm having, excuse me, Daddy, I'm having feedback in the background here on water running and dishes, I think, so if you could... I have all the callers mute, but so if it's one of us that's participating, please put your phone on mute. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, and so he was successful in discovering a new world. He was not successful himself going around the world, but he inspired others who did make it around the world, discovered that the world was round.
And he landed in the beautiful island of the Bahamas, where we're from, and a lot of people is like, oh, Columbus discovered the New World, and they think about America. But in 1492, on October 12, 1492, Christopher Columbus landed in the Bahamas, and that's where we're from. So I'm going to ask, it's 90 seconds left, so I'm going to ask Trudy and Quincy to be brief, 30 seconds. Trudy.
Let Quincy do it.
Quincy, go ahead.
You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, so for my last one, like he was saying, Columbus never traveled the world, but a good example, too, of someone who had a dream was Martin Luther King. His dream was literally shot down, but because he shared his dream, he talked about sharing your dream, with the world, some people were against it, and they decided that he should be eliminated. They didn't agree with his dream. But his dream and his speech inspired a lot of people, and that's why we progressed where we are today.
Thank you.
So thank you, Wapami Mastermind Group, for being here. It's our last week here on the show. We've had a great time sharing with you on Think and Grow Rich and the chapter on desire. I hope that everybody's gleaned something from what we discussed and just to be encouraged to go forward. So and your masterminding. So thank you again to IMA and to Ann McNeil for this opportunity. Have a great day, a great Saturday, and a great life. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.